she was going to do anything about it now. Susan could unnerve a glacier. All she had to do was sit quietly, looking polite and alert. "What precisely was it you wanted, madam?" she said. "It's only that I've left the class doing algebra, and they get restless when they've finished." "Algebra?" said Madame Froute, perforce staring at her own bosom, which no one else had ever done. "But that's far too difficult for 7-year-olds." "Yes, but I didn't tell them that, and so far they haven't found out," said Susan. It was time to move things along. "I expect you wanted to see me about my letter, madam," she said. Madame Froute looked blank. "What?" she began. Susan sighed and snapped her fingers. She walked round and opened a drawer by the motionless Madame Froute, removed a sheet of paper, and spent some time carefully writing a letter. She let the ink dry, rustled the paper a bit to make it look slightly second-hand, and then put it just under the top of the pile of paperwork beside Madame Froute, with enough of it peeking out so that it would be easy to see. She returned to her seat. She snapped her fingers again. "A letter," said Madame Froute, and then she looked down at her desk. "Oh!" It was a cruel thing to do, Susan knew, but while Madame Froute was not by any means a bad person and was quite kind to children in a haphazard way, she was silly. And Susan did not have a lot of time for silly. "Yes, I asked if I might have a few days' leave," said Susan. "Pressing family matters, I'm afraid. I have prepared some work for the children to get on with, of course." Madame Froute hesitated. Susan didn't have time for this either. She snapped her fingers. "My goodness, that'd be a relief," she said, in a voice whose harmonics went all the way into the subconscious. "If we don't slow her down, we'll run out of things to teach them. She has been performing small miracles on a daily basis and deserves a raise." Then she sat back, snapped her fingers again, and watched the words settle into the forefront of Madame Froute's mind. The woman's lips actually moved. "Why, yes, of course," she murmured at last. "You have been working very hard, and there are some things even a voice of eldritch command can't achieve, and one of them is to get extra money out of a head teacher. We shall have to think about a little increment for you one of these days." Susan returned to the classroom and spent the rest of the day performing small miracles, which included removing the glue from Richenda's hair, emptying the wee out of Billy's shoes, and treating the class to a short visit to the continent of 4X. When their parents came to pick them up, they were all waving crayoned pictures of kangaroos, and Susan had to hope that the red dust on their shoes, red mud in the case of Billy's, whose sense of timing had not improved, would pass unnoticed. It probably would. Fidgets was not the only place where adults didn't see what couldn't possibly be true. Now she sat back. There was something pleasant about an empty classroom. Of course, as any teacher would point out, one nice thing was that there were no children in it, and particularly no Jason. But the tables and shelves around the room showed evidence of a term well spent. Paintings lined the walls and displayed good use of perspective and colour. The class had built a full-size white horse out of cardboard boxes, during which time they'd learned a lot about horses, and Susan learned about Jason's remarkably accurate powers of observation. She'd had to take the cardboard tube away from him and explain that this was a polite horse. It had been a long day. She raised the lid of her desk and took out Grimm Fairy Tales. This dislodged some paperwork, which in turn revealed a small cardboard box decorated in blackened gold. It had been a little present from Vincent's parents. She stared at the box. Every day she had to go through this. It was ridiculous. It wasn't even as if Higgs and Meekins did good chocolates. They were just butter and sugar and... She scrabbled amongst the sad little scraps of brown paper inside the box and pulled out a chocolate. No one could be expected not to have just one chocolate after all. She put it in her mouth. Damn, 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 damn! It was nougat inside. Her one chocolate today, and it was damned artificial... Damn pink and white, damn sickly, damn stupid nougat. Well, no one could be expected to believe that counted. This is true. A chocolate you did not want to eat does not count as chocolate. This discovery is from the same branch of culinary physics that determined that food eaten while walking contains no calories. She was entitled to another. The teacher part of her, which had eyes in the back of its head,